So it is a pleasure for me to come on out and have a chance to share my story with you. I'm not going to be speaking as much on this passage, but more sharing a little bit about my story and my upbringing of not just when I said yes to Jesus, because I would, you could say, have the average testimony. I gave my life to Jesus as a young child. But the thing is, my story doesn't end there. My story, that's actually just the beginning of my story. I am, technically, I was born in Regina, Saskatchewan. I grew up in the Regina Chinese Lions Church, but I am technically also, at first I thought I was third generation Canadian Chinese. But even just this recent vacation time in Toronto, my aunt actually told me that it wasn't my grandparents that first moved here. It was my great-great-grandparents, great-great-grandfather that moved to Saskatchewan. I'm technically fifth generation here in Canada. They were part of the, my grandpa, great-great-grandfather was part of the railroad. Probably one of the first to come. And actually, my mom still has a receipt from the head tax too. So, there's a lot of Canadian history behind me. But yet, I am 100% Chinese. My mom is fourth generation. My dad moved here from Hong Kong when he was 17. And what happened is there is generational differences and cultural differences even within my own family and my own parents, let alone their kids and my grandparents, which I can't really communicate with. So my experience of growing up in the Regina Chinese Alliance Church, who what is known as the pioneering church of all the Chinese Alliance churches in Canada, it's got a lot of traditions in there. Some of you even came out of the Chinese Alliance Church. So you guys know. Right? But the thing is, since I was very much a Canadian, my parents raised their kids Canadian, I actually did not understand too much Chinese. I did not speak Chinese. So me going to a very old traditional Chinese church, it was very different because I always got people saying, oh, you don't speak Chinese, you need to speak Chinese. But the thing is, it's not how I was raised. I understood a little bit, I still understand a little bit, but I can't keep a conversation going if my life depended on it. So that really set me apart from the Chinese church. That actually grew, that was the start of some of my frustrations and anger that was built up towards the Chinese community and my Chinese identity, because I didn't see myself as Chinese. But to add things on top of that, that really just perpetuated that, was I have this disability called Tourette's. And basically what it is, it's a neurological disorder that makes me twitch my head or make weird faces. I can't control it. It's something that just, it's like a sneeze. You have to do it. It's irrepressible. So there's this disorder, this is disability. And also, on top of that, I have attention deficit. So me being able to focus and study in school makes it really tough. Especially reading. My attention is very much distracted, like, oh, what? I had like a memory span of a gnat, or attention span of a gnat. So I'm talking, I'm like, what's going on here? So there's all these challenges put before me, but growing up in the Chinese church, the Chinese culture that I grew up in didn't know really how to deal with disabilities, people with disabilities. It was a very much of an isolating culture. I was disciplined. I was judged, not just for my language, but because I was different, because I wasn't as smart, because I was twitching, I was doing all these weird things, and I was punished because of it. It's stuff that I did not understand. Why? Why would people do this to me? Why would people who call themselves followers of Jesus do this to someone? And on top of that, in Canadian culture, I actually was bullied and teased a lot because of my Tourette's. So not only in my Chinese roots, I was hurt a lot, but in the Canadian roots, I was also judged a lot too. Not because I was Chinese though, but because I had Tourette's. So the idea of me being Chinese didn't even dawn on me because the main focus was on my Tourette's. That's what hurt the most. That's what really got to me. Now, as the years went on, Canadian culture redeemed itself. I went into high school. That's the place where I actually truly felt accepted by people. But in the Chinese church, it still continued. That isolation still continued. I couldn't connect with anyone. I just did not feel that I was able to really, truly be accepted in the Chinese community. So at a young age, something like 10 years old, I came to the conclusion that no one accepts me. No one loves me. No one accepts me for who I am. And I lived my life for myself after that. I came to this idea of, Justin, no one loves and accepts you. You are the only one to determine if people love and accept you for who you are. You need to make something out of yourself. Because no one appreciates you for who you are. So I had this mindset and this pent-up anger towards pretty much everyone, but especially directed towards the Chinese community. And it's to no fault to them. It really isn't. But that's just how I received it, based on my experience. And some of you sitting here may be welling up in anger and frustration with me in this. But that's the great thing about my story. It does not end there. God is so good that He redeems some of these the most painful things in my life. So there is hope. Just listen. As life went on, I had this mindset. I sought my identity in so many different places. I tried to make a name for myself. This idea of, okay, people are going to accept me if I am like, if I act in this way, in certain ways. There's a reason why I joined judo, so I can defend myself if people physically bullied me. So that was a way to defend myself. If I said I did judo, people would respect me. Perfect. And I did judo for 13 years. I competed on a national level. I got my black belt, and I coached for 8 years too. I made a name for myself in the judo world. Not just in Saskatchewan, but across all of Canada. People respected me as an athlete. People respected me as a coach, especially the parents. So I got that love and acceptance that I desired. In high school, I still sought this love and acceptance. And I made a good name for myself. I joined the football team, and I was awesome starting my first year and also my senior year. But thing is, as I sought for these things, as I sought for these things in my athletics and my relationships, these were all false identities. And all throughout this time, I felt very much alone. I felt I was only walking life alone. Even though I had people that liked me, even though I had a community, even though I had all these things that were known in society to be great things, I sought my identity in my education, engineering. I studied hard to do that, but also it's a gift from God that I even graduated my engineering degree too. Heading into university, I started getting involved with InterVarsity. And when I went into university, I actually left the Chinese church for good. I did not want to have anything to do with the Chinese church. So I went to a Caucasian church. I got involved with InterVarsity. I was the lone Asian in the InterVarsity group. I was the lone Asian among 70 young adults in this mega church that I was at. But the thing is, when people said, oh, well, you're Chinese. I'm like, no, I'm not. And then I look at myself in the mirror, right, I'm Chinese. But I didn't feel like that. I actually felt very comfortable in Caucasian settings. So university went through it. My involvement with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship continued to go. And that's where my faith started to become real to me. That's when I started to give my life to God, but still not truly understanding really what that meant. Continued on forward, and I'm going to fast forward a little bit to when I graduated from university. I felt God calling me to serve Him in full-time missions. And at this point in time, I was like, yes, I built up all these pillars for myself. Like, I'm great, I'm awesome. And I'm like, I'm going to go in and I'm going to change the world with how awesome I am. That was literally the mentality that I had going into the internship with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Now, when I joined the internship, I got sent to Hamilton. And I'm like, okay, yes, it'll be great. And God started the process of my ethnic identity during the internship. I'll leave that off to the side for now, but I want to focus on how God is bringing healing into my identity as a person with a disability, because that was first and foremost for me. People with disabilities, people usually see them as a person with a disability, not their ethnic identity first. So that actually needs to be dealt with first before the ethnic healing, ethnic identity can be worked on. So going into the internship, I was like, okay, let's do this, I'm going to do great things. I was all gung-ho about it, and then God did some really interesting things around, okay, Justin, you've got your identity and all these things, so I'm going to actually take away all these things that you seek your identity in. And how He did that was something similar, if you're familiar with Jacob, when he was wrestling with God. Wrestling with Him all night, and then all of a sudden God put out his hip. And to this day, he still walks with a limp. Well, in the same way, I was playing Ultimate Frisbee with the InterVarsity group, and I severely injured my knee to the point where it actually needed surgery. My ministry there went from me, this mentality of me being great and self-sufficient and all these things, went from that to me not even being able to walk on my own. I needed help from people to help me walk. And that actually was one of the most humbling experiences ever. And my ministry went from me thinking I could do something to me actually resting. That was the ministry that God was calling me to do. And throughout this process, as I sought healing for my knee, I started receiving deeper healing. I went to Urbana 09. And Urbana is a missions conference of 20,000 plus students who gather together from all over the world for the purpose of global missions. I went there during my intern year. And then during this time, I ran into a friend who actually asked me or said, oh, you should go to the prayer room. So my understanding of prayer, so I went to the prayer room, and my understanding of prayer actually became this. At first, it was like, oh, well, I'll be in and out in 15 minutes, done. Perfect. Then I can do whatever else I want. But when I went there, I went in, and I started talking with some of my friends from InterVarsity, and they said, how can we pray for you? I'm like, well, my knee is hurt, and I would like healing for my knee. And then they're like, okay, we'll pray for your knee. But actually, we feel that. Talk to us. What was it like growing up for you? And they started taking me through a journey. Back to my past. Back to my hurts. I was placed in a place of brokenness, a place of hurt. There's this image, this vision of me standing at my school, and all the kids around me were teasing me and making fun of me and calling me names because of my dreads. And I'm standing there hating myself, like, what's the matter? Why am I here? And I ask, God, why are you don't care about me? And they ask me, what, do you see God here? I'm like, of course I don't see God here. God made me this. God did not care about me when He made me this way. And it shows through the people. But then, they challenged me. They asked me, why don't you ask Jesus to come into this place? I'm like, okay, well, sure. Like, Jesus, I don't see you here. I need you to come into this place. And lo and behold, He came out of the trees in the distance and started walking closer and closer and closer to me. And from there, He walked so close to me that He was actually embracing me during that time. For me, that told me that Jesus was there. Jesus accepts me for who I am, even though everyone else doesn't. And that was healing. That was healing for me. That was encounter number one with Jesus through prayer. Encounter number two, coming up into the winter semester, I was asked to lead a Bible study with the Korean Christian Fellowship students. And I could not get the passage, the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. I was like, I don't know why God has called, why this keeps on coming, but I might as well lead it on that. So I prep it, I do everything I can for it, and I lead it. And it was a great Bible study. Like, yes, thank you God for coming and showing yourself. And later that evening, so after that, I was like, okay, mission accomplished, done. But later that evening, I was lying awake, like wide awake, at like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I was like, why can't I get to sleep? Then all of a sudden I start reflecting on my own application questions that I asked the students. I asked two application questions. One was, what are the wells that you are drawing your water from? What are the places that you are drawing your identity from? And I wrote down the list. I wrote down the list of, okay, my judo, my athletic ability, relationships that I have, the idea of me wanting to be respected. I listed it all down. It's like a page of things that, and I saw it, and I looked at it, and it was just, these are all things that I sought my identity in. And you know what the common thing amongst all of them are? God took every single one of those things away from me. He stripped them away from me. He's not kidding when He says, if you have idols before Him, those will be broken. He will take them away. And then I ask myself, why am I doing this internship? What about even my desire to do full-time ministry with InterVarsity on staff? I said, could my passions and desires even be idols before God? And then I asked myself, yes, I am seeking my identity in ministry. I am seeking that. And actually, that's not a good thing. And knowing God, knowing my track record with God, He's not going to let me keep that either. It's at that moment I realized, man, I cannot do this. And this is the time of my discernment on coming on staff. And I really wanted to come on staff with InterVarsity. But then, what happened was I asked the second application question. What is the living water? Well, the living water... So I had to reflect on that a little bit more. I was like, oh, what is the living water? Well, this living water quenches all these thirsts that these false identities cannot quench. And from there, I actually then said, well, what is Jesus talking about? What does Jesus actually offer to this woman? And then, well, Jesus, the living water, is, I guess, a relationship with Jesus. He fulfills that. And it just clicked. Just, oh, that's it. That's all I need. I don't need all these things. I don't need staff work. I don't need all these things that I seek my identity in. I have Jesus. I have the relationship with Jesus. And I actually know that I am deeply loved. I am a child of God. So here, it was like, oh, this is my identity. This is who I am. Wow, this is awesome. This is exciting. But what happened? And also, what happened then, shortly after that? So my knee was still hurt. I still needed a brace to walk around. And I was in the process of getting surgery for my knee. I was on a waiting list. 7 hours later, after me coming to terms with that identity, the hospital called and they actually set my surgery date. God allowed me, said, now you know who you are. Let's get that knee fixed up for you. The scars on my knee still remind me of that. I will never forget that. The same way Jacob walked with a limp, I have these scars to remind me of how much I actually really need God, how much I need Jesus in my life. So that was encounter number two. Encounter number three came from a conference called Mark West, where we study the Bible for 40 hours for 5 days. On half the Gospel of Mark. So it was an intense inductive Bible study time. And it was out of Scripture that drove me to prayer again. Because I felt convicted. I felt that Jesus was dead to me during that time. And when I went through that prayer time, I was brought to another place that was even more hurt in my life. I was brought to a place that was in front of a mirror. And actually, when I was growing up, my family, my grandparents, forced me to stand in front of the mirror for me to stop my Tourette's. They forced me to stand for hours looking at myself. And what happened, and I developed bitterness not only towards my family, my grandparents, but my parents, because they let it happen. So there's this place of deep hurt and brokenness that I was placed in front of that. I was looking at myself in the mirror. And I saw myself and I hate who I am. I hate everything about me. There's nothing good about me. No one loves me. No one accepts me for who I am. These are the things that are going through my mind constantly over and over and over again. And this is the place that Jesus placed me in this prayer time. And then I asked the question again, Jesus, where are you? Jesus, can you reveal yourself? And he did. He revealed himself. He was standing with me, looking with me through the mirror. And he said, Justin, when you look in this mirror, you think of anything and everything that is bad about you. It is not the true representation of what I really think of you. Let's walk away from this mirror. And you know what? We'll walk away from this. We'll sit down and talk. And I will tell you what I really think of you. So he took me away from that mirror. And then later on at a staff conference, I remember praying for... This is after I said yes to joining InterVarsity. They did extend the invitation out to me. I said yes to joining InterVarsity. I got placed at SFU, but I had no vision. I was praying. I was like, Lord, I need your vision. I need a vision for this campus. Because I won't go unless you give me a vision. And I spent 2 hours praying. I'm like, oh, what's going on? Then I just got up and I sat down. And what happened is as if the chair in front of me, it was like Jesus was sitting there casually. Arms behind the head, one leg over the other, just smiling. And then he's like saying, Justin, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you. I want you to know that. And I also want you to know, and remember this, I love you. I love you so much. And then he's like, okay, yes. I will go with you to SFU. And you know what? You are going to see miracles there. It's not just going to be any miracles. these miracles that I'm going to show you are going to change the whole image of SFU. SFU will no longer be known as the depressing campus, the lonely campus, the campus of death. But when people look at this campus, they will say, you're actually going to know who, find out who Jesus is here. That was the promise that he gave me. I'm like, okay, I'll take that. I will definitely take that. So this process, I received this healing for my identity as a person with a disability. He affirmed me in that identity. And later on, God actually brought me back in front of that mirror. The very mirror that I was so scared to be in front of. And I'm looking at myself like, Lord, why are you bringing me back here? I don't want to be here. You took me away. Why only to bring me back? What's going on here? I said, Justin, look at yourself. Look, what do you see? So I looked. I saw me. And then what surprised me was I also saw Jesus. But on top of that, I actually saw my community around me, looking with me. And normally I would expect faces of disgust, but actually there were faces of joy. They were smiling and they were happy to be with me. So here, Jesus was saying, this is what I really think of you. You are beautiful. You are loved. You are accepted. And this was after, what is it, 24 years of actually going alone and feeling alone in this world, even though I had people around me. Yeah, God revealed His goodness to me in that. That's my trek. That's the journey for my trek. The journey for my ethnic identity now started actually in Hamilton. I mentioned earlier that I steered away from Chinese communities like the plague. I did everything I could to stay away from them. But when I joined the internship, get this, I was sent to Hamilton. Okay, not many Chinese there. I'm okay with that. Not many Asians there. But the intern team, all Chinese intern team, the household, all Asian household, my mentor and co-worker, she was 1.5 generation. So she moved here when she was about 8. She was my mentor and my direct co-worker. And there were two ministries at McMaster. There was the multicultural, multi-ethnic ministry with InterVarsity, but there's also the Korean Christian Fellowship. With, guess which one I was placed in? The Korean Christian Fellowship. I was, and even during that time, I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with it. I refuse to deal with it. Well, after the internship, he sent me to Vancouver, out of all places, where there's a huge Asian population. He sent me to SFU. When I went up to SFU, I was like, I only see Chinese people up there. I only see Asian people up there. There's so many Asians up here. My church that I'm going to, I did everything I could to steer away from the Chinese church. Then I got an invitation to go to a Chinese church, Burnaby Pacific Grace. And I'm like, fine, I'll go just for the sake of going. Maybe he might call me to stay there. I hope. I don't think he is, though. So I went there, and then that's when I heard God say, Justin, this is going to be your home church. I'm like, oh, really? No. Yes. This is going to be your home church. So I'm like, oh, fine, I'll do it. So I gave it some time. And on top of that, he introduced a Chinese girl in my life, who is now my girlfriend. So here, for me, I'm not only shocked myself, I shocked everyone around me, my friends back home. They're like, you're interested in a Chinese girl? Like, yeah, I'm surprised too. I never thought I'd be interested in a Chinese girl. So here I'm like, huh, what are you going to do, Lord? And then later on, he sent me to WinterCon, the 50th annual WinterCon in Vancouver. And then also that year, I went to China with the China Global Partnership with InterVarsity. So it was finally at WinterCon. I again reluctantly went to WinterCon. I'll go over there because why not? And I was worried, I was scared, like, oh, what if people are going to judge me because I can't speak Chinese? All these fears were coming up. I'm like, oh, why am I here? And it's the biggest WinterCon I've been to, 1,500 people there. I was like, what's going on here? But then, as I was there, God started bringing people who remember me from like 5 years ago. And these weren't just any people. These were like pastors and leaders of churches and communities all over Western Canada who still remembered me from a while ago. And like, what? How do you remember me? Somehow God has said, has allowed me to be connected with a lot of Chinese churches without me even trying. I'm just, why are you doing this to me? And there came a time when I went through that, when I actually finally was able, I confessed, saying that I actually hated my Chinese identity and culture. I used those words exactly. And I was supposed to actually share my testimony, share my story in a workshop there. But what happened after that, during that workshop, I didn't have time to share my story. I didn't have time to share my testimony. And we prayed about it afterwards and reflected on it, and we both felt that it wasn't my time yet. And as I prayed about it, as I reflected on it, that's when God came to me and said, Justin, I did not allow you to share your story this time around. Because this part of your story I want you to share is not yet complete. When I allow you to share your story, when this part of your story is complete, I will allow you to share your story. And it's not just with a few people. It's going to be with many people. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm okay with that. And then he said, wait until China. Something significant is going to happen for you there. And now, that was encounter number one I had with God at WinterCon. The second experience that I had was in the prayer room. I was like, okay, I don't want to go down to closing ceremony. I really don't. I've had enough of too much Chinese people for me. And then up in the prayer room, that's where I felt God say, Justin, go down to closing ceremonies. Someone is waiting for you there. I'm like, fine, I'll go down. I go down, I sit at the back of the room, there's an empty chair beside me, and I wait. I wait for someone to come. Like, nope, no one came. Closing ceremony started. We stood up, and we were worshiping. And somewhere along the worship, I just felt, oh, I'm tired, I need to sit down. So I sit down, and it was as if I kind of zoned out a little bit. I could hear the music, but at the same time, it was like I was in my own space. And then in the chair beside me, it was as if God was saying, Justin, I was waiting for you. Let's talk. It's like, okay, Lord, you want to talk? Okay, let's talk. He started and he said, when you look around in this room, what do you see? So I looked around. I'm like, well, Lord, I see about 1,500 Chinese people, all different ages. First, second, and third generations, all different ages, all Christians, all worshiping you. And then God's like, yeah, you're right. But Justin, do you know what I see? And I say, no, Lord. What do you see? I see each and every single one of my children. Justin, I want you to know I love you, but I also want you to know that I love my children. And after this, I was like, me being the smart one, I was like, yeah, Lord, so what's your point? Then he said, you are going to learn to love my children like I do. And at this point, I was like, my heart sank, because here I know I can't, this is not possible. God was telling me to love a culture that has hurt me so much. And like, this is impossible, Lord, but I know this is you speaking, and I will do my best. But I'll tell you now, it is not going to be for me. If you want me to truly love your children, love your Chinese children, you're going to have to do some sort of crazy, outrageous miracle in my life. And that's when God said, wait. Wait until China. Something significant is going to happen for you in China. And okay. And fast forwarding, went to China. Now, China experience, I still cannot pinpoint the times where he changed me. But I'll tell you this now. I went there hating and despising my Asian identity and culture. But actually, by the end of that, Kim asked me, Justin, what did you learn? Well, you're here. And then I just sat and thought, I'm like, actually, I think I actually love and appreciate my Chinese identity and culture. Whoa, I actually said those words and I really meant it. Crazy. That's insane. So he brought healing to that. And I'm still going through these processes. I'm still learning to love Chinese culture. Even just recently, I'm now really learning to love the first generation. And that's a lot of pain that I have to go through. I'm learning to humble myself before them and appreciate them and respect them for who God created them to be. But man, it is tough. It is so tough, especially with all these previous memories that I have. But you know what? God gave me the ability to love them for who they are. And he's still giving me the ability. He's making me unlearn my default defense mechanisms in the Chinese that I have in the Chinese church. And thank goodness for my Chinese church that they are extending a lot of grace to me. But this is my story. This is a part of my story. And as you guys are going through Mark, going through the Gospel of Mark, any of the Gospels actually are stories from eyewitnesses of Jesus. Mark is written in the lens of Peter. Mark was scribing down Peter's first-hand experience of Jesus. And quite often we forget our own stories that we have with Jesus. If the gospel is directly translated to good news, we learned this earlier on, how do we actually share the gospel in our everyday lives? What is the gospel? Well, the traditional gospel that we are exposed to is Jesus died for our sins, and if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. That is the general message that we are actually taught. But the thing is, since the gospel is based on witnesses the goodness of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, what about our own stories? What about when Jesus, these experiences that I've experienced, this is after I said yes to Jesus, this is after I was baptized, this is during the time I was professing myself to be a Christian. Quite often we say, oh, I don't have any exciting stories. I don't have the blaring testimony of I was in a gang or I had near-death experience. We don't need that. There's a gift that God has given each and every single one of us, and that is our own stories, the own stories that He has given us. From before we said yes, and also after we said yes to Jesus. If we look back and we see how Jesus has healed and redeemed us, and we go and share that story, share that experience with someone, isn't that the gospel message too? It is your witness of who, of the goodness of Jesus, of the good news of what Jesus has actually done. That becomes the modern day gospel. Your own story. We have about 15 minutes. And I actually want to invite us now to start to pair up, or actually maybe pair up with someone, two or three, and start asking yourself, like, what is my story? Start even thinking about the process of understanding our own stories. If there are places of hurt, there are places of hurt in our lives, invite Jesus. Start discussing that. Start acknowledging those places of hurt that you may have experienced in a past, in your past life. It sucks. I tell you now, it sucks to have to actually say, I hate this. God, I do not believe that you are good in this way. You sometimes, you actually have to say that sometimes. Because God is listening. And God wants to redeem that part of you. The things, the hurts, the sins in our lives, actually, He actually recycles those sins. He will redeem the sins of the past, and He will use that for His glory. But the thing is, our past is very foundational, very formational of who we are today. But quite often, we let it burden us instead of actually, it's supposed to drive us forward and move us forward. Our stories become a living testimony of who Jesus is. So I want to invite you now, as we go into discussion, let's talk about our stories. 15 minutes is not going to be enough, but I encourage you, afterwards, from here on out, go and get to know each other's stories and walk with each other. Because if you have not experienced that healing power of Jesus, oh, He is wanting to give that to you now. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. So yeah, how about I pray for us before we go into this time. Jesus, actually, Father, we come here before You as broken people. Each and every one of us has our own story, have our own hurts and previous pains, Lord. And quite often we ask the question, where are You, Jesus? Where are You? You are not here. So Lord, we acknowledge that You are the sovereign God, that You have actually created everything. That what You say goes in this world. We acknowledge You that You are the creator God, that You actually created us exactly how You intended us. We acknowledge that You are the God of victory, as You have proved, shown Yourself to be victorious over the enemies and over the previous hurts and pains. And God, we call upon, we acknowledge that You are the God that stays the same and remains the same. You do not change over time, Lord. So as we look at the past, as we engage in the past, Lord, would You continue to redeem us and bring healing to us? You are a God that loves us, and You do not want us to continue living in a lie, Lord. So would You bring that truth about who we really are? And yeah, Lord, allow us to be happy for who You created us to be. And receive You as You are. So Lord, I pray that You you would start to bring up these things for people here. And that they may not hide from it, they may not run away from it, but they may invite you. And as they are together in a community, they may do it together in a community, Lord. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the power that you've given us, and we thank you for who you created us to be. Amen.